what made you decide to run for this seat?
So I've been an advocate for a long time for the need for more women in office. Pennsylvania, unfortunately, is one of the worst records in that regard. Many of your listeners know that right now Allegheny County isn't represented by any women at any level of government in Harrisburg or Washington, D.C., as far as legislators are concerned. So I've been really honored to be running the Women and Girls Foundation for the last 12 years, and there we have a Girl Gov program. We take girls to Harrisburg every year, and they get to shadow their legislators. So it's something that I certainly have been thinking about for a long time. And when this opportunity came up, I felt like it was a great opportunity for me to basically walk the talk and show the girls that, yes, our county really can elect women to elected office and to serve in the legislature.
If you win this election, you'll have to hit the ground running on the budget issue right away. How can you help with that?
During GirlGov, I actually teach the girls the state budget. So we take them through the budget and talk to them about what it means for them in their real lives. And my job at Women and Girls Foundation normally is to track that process anyway. Every other year, we publish an analysis of the state budget with a gender lens. So it's a document I'm very familiar with, and I'm someone who goes to Harrisburg and provides testimony during budget hearings. So I've been tracking the process very closely and staying as informed as I can possibly be so that if I'm elected on November 3rd, and that I'll be as informed as possible.
In general, you'll have to be working within a Republican-controlled legislature. How can you do that?
Well, so recently, actually just a couple of years ago, we were working on a piece of legislation called Sarah's Bill. And certainly in my role, I've worked on probably a dozen pieces of legislation that have gotten past the legislature. But this one was particularly interesting because it was written by a 13-year-old girl who had been a victim of stalking. And it was a bill to enhance protections for victims of stalking, especially minors being stalked by strangers, as she was. And it took us 4 years to get that bill passed. Now, that's not a bill that anyone would really be against, right? It doesn't sound like, you know, something very controversial. But it does take a long time to get a bill passed through Harrisburg. But if you're persistent, you can do it.
During the recession, Pennsylvania's economy was looking like one of the best in the country. Now that the recession is seemingly over, again, we're starting to trail in some of the economic development numbers. How would you help to jumpstart Pennsylvania's economy?
Well, I think that like other places, certainly we've had an impact. The recession had its impact and stimulus funds created kind of a temporary short-term fix. But we also see like the transportation legislation that was passed last year has created huge investments. I mean, all of your listeners know they're probably in the middle of a construction zone right as they listen to this interview. And so while those construction zones maybe cause the rest of us a little bit of inconvenience on our way to or from work, think about all the incredible jobs that those jobs have created. And those are good jobs, good well-paying jobs, but they also are needed because our roads and bridges do need infrastructure repair. So I think those are really wise investments that can be done at the state where they serve constituents and taxpayers fixing roads. They create great family-sustaining wages and jobs. I think that developing those kinds of solutions where you're able to solve a community problem and create jobs is a wonderful thing for government to do.
Fracking. What should the state be doing to capitalize on that?
So I am in favor of us developing a severance tax like all the other states across the country. And, you know, we are the only major state that has natural gas drilling occurring in it that doesn't have a severance tax. I maybe disagree with the governor or some others. I don't think that we should have a severance tax in addition to an impact fee. So I'm certainly a fan of the idea of doing that. And then using those funds to reinvest in our public education and in our municipalities and roads and infrastructure.
Should the state have a minimum wage? And if so, what should it be?
Yes. So I've been an advocate for an increase in the minimum wage. Certainly states that can go ahead and do that themselves. And also I've been involved in the federal advocacy efforts to increase it at the federal level. The minimum wage hasn't kept up with inflation and with cost of living increases. And while I think sometimes we might think of minimum wage workers as young people, as, you know, people who are working their way through school, a couple things. One is, yeah, I worked 4 jobs through college, and I can say that, you know, increasing the minimum wage will help young people pay their way through school, and that's a good thing. But actually, the majority of people on minimum wage are women, and the majority of those women are single moms with kids. And single mothers with children make up 75% of households living in poverty in our region. So increasing the minimum wage would be a great way to increase the economic stability of families. And we also know that every single penny of those dollars goes right back into our local economy.
How do we fix public pensions in Pennsylvania?
There have been a lot of conversations around some sort of combination, moving to a place where we have some defined benefit, some defined contribution, meaning a 401k plan, but that's in combination with a guaranteed pension. And I think that's a much smarter way to go. It would mean that new employees are continuing to pay into the pension fund. And it also would mean that we weren't playing, you know, Russian roulette with other people's retirements.
The 37th Senatorial District doesn't, on a map, necessarily look all that compact. But when you start to look at the types of people that are living in that district, I think it does seem to make sense, and it is compact. So what are some of the issues that might be facing that district that wouldn't necessarily show up on the radar statewide?
Well, look at the communities in Senate District 37. What they all have in common is they're mostly places where people went to raise a family. You have multiple generation families. And really, you know, family is at the root of so much. We have family-owned businesses. We care very deeply about our schools. These are neighborhoods that pride themselves on the quality of their public schools. And we also have a very high senior population. And so issues like retirements and pensions and both at the state and federal level health care are very relevant to people. And that, you know, I've knocked on thousands and thousands of doors just in the last, 60 days of this race. And I can tell you that that's what I hear the most about is I hear about people who are concerned about education funding and they're concerned about their pensions and their retirement securities.
Heather Arnay is running as the Democrat in the special election in the 37th Senatorial District. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.